The final report is out when it comes to the hazing incidents at St. Well, the hazing scandal at St. Mike's College in Toronto, 122 pages long. It was prepared by an independent committee. The report found hazing isn't so much a big deal, but bullying is. Six students and former students faced charges in connection with attacks that happened on campus last fall. One allegedly involved the football team, saw a boy held down and violated with a broom handle. The report finds that hazing, in its most extreme form, is not a significant part of the school's culture. At the same time, the committee is deeply concerned that bullying is a systemic issue. That's really how the school's trying to paint this. It's not hazing that's an issue. Tell that to the dozens of boys assaulted. It's the bullying. And you see, bullying is an issue for everyone, so we're not that different here at St. Michael's College.
How do you go about addressing a societal issue that's not just isolated to St. Michael's College School?
First, we are not alone on this issue. The committee found bullying numbers at St. Michael's College School comparable to boys' school across Canada.
That's from a video of the interim president, which you can watch on our website. Survey found that 47 kids at the school had been hazed in the past. 4.7% of the respondents, 22%, had reported being bullied. The interim president calls that not acceptable, says they must and they will do better. He says there's a need for a comprehensive strategy to address bullying. Among the recommendations already adopted, there's a lot of little fine points on handbooks and changes they've made to this and that, but you can really sum them up as developing that comprehensive bullying prevention and intervention strategy and a review of various policies and guidelines, as well as reorganizing the athletic programs. What about allegations of a cover-up when this all went down? Why did St. Mike's not go to police right away when it received a video that appeared to show a sexual assault involving a group of boys? They have the chronology of the events, and nothing about how this went down clears the administration. It was about 6:30 on a Monday night in November, you may recall. The school came into possession of that video. No one called police. The next day, Tuesday, they identified the boys in the recording as students at the school, members of the junior football team. The administration met with staff, faculty, to outline what had happened, spoke to the victim's father, and indicated the matter would be reported to police. The father first wanted to speak to the boy's mother, who was out of town, so no one called police. It was then Wednesday. Expulsion meetings were scheduled with the four kids who were allegedly involved and their parents. It was during these meetings a community police officer happened to be on campus. It was finally then an officer was shown that video and the investigation began. Once again, St. Mike's never actually called police. He just happened to be there at the time. And I love this part of the report. Most significant, there's compelling evidence the school always intended to report the incident to the police. The school was well-intentioned, but you didn't call police. You waited.
You done messed up, Aaron!
We tried to get St. Mike's to do an interview. It refused, just the video. That way you don't face any tough questions. You control the message. Thanks for that, Amanda. It's your people.
It's my people.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Well, not my people, by the way.
Who is this video done by? The school?
It looks that way.
Who's asking them the questions?
I'm going to guess it was all... There's no so much such thing as questions. They just had the voiceover to add the aspect of, you know, everybody faces this. Most schools in the country face bullying. So, you know, that's putting the narrative off of hazing, which is really the issue, a very horrible hazing incident. And we'll move it over to bullying where everybody deals with that. So how can we be expected to be different? How can we be blamed? Well, you can be blamed because you waited from a Monday evening at 6 until a Wednesday when a cop just happened to be around to say, oh, yeah, here's the thing that went down.
I look at this and I think if you come out in a report, and again, this was an independent report, so... You know, I have to kind of take it as that. I mean, you took independent people, they looked into it, but you remember, you're also the ones controlling the message this tightly. So if I'm looking into something and I'm not getting any answers to anything, it's very hard for me to do my job as an independent third party as well, right? If your subject isn't forthcoming with a lot of information, it can be difficult. But if
Plus,
you interview
put independence in quotes,
well,
with all these sorts of things,
if you interview just over 200 kids and 47 of them come back and say
47 is a lot.
That's a lot. That's like a quarter of the people you talk to.
It's not about that. But it's about the bullying.
But then you come out and say, well, we don't have a significant hazing issue at our school. A quarter of the people you talk to admitted to being hazed. That seems like a pretty significant number to me.
88 of the 204 also admitted to being or said they experienced
sexualized.
The 54 was sexualized, the 88 was racial related, which is that's a whole other issue, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how you say it. They always intended to call police, but like has been reported, those 3 days or how many days in the interim, that video was floating around on social media, like going around because the police weren't involved and no one was there to take it down. Like that to me is the true, I mean, there's lots of issues with that, but I don't know how you say the school, yes, it's great you're well-intentioned, but the road to somewhere is paved with those. And I will just say that I don't feel like this is appropriate.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you've got them bringing back the football team earlier than they said they were going to. By the way, it's the St. Mike's communication director that's actually asking the questions in that video.
Is it?
So the whole thing is massaged and manicured to make it look like nothing to see here.
Somebody, there's some consulting firm that made a lot of money off this entire process. At the end of the day, there were two top administrative officials that...
It wasn't Amanda's, by the way.
No,
it was not Amanda's.
Not...
She's giving me the... It wasn't us.
No.
Your people.
No. Not my people.
Well, two people did lose their... you would say, okay, the individual in charge did step aside. So is that payment enough for waiting the 2.5 days? I guess to some extent, the heads did roll. Now, moving forward, obviously, you have a lot of culture that you need to change mm-hmm. there and not just continue to act like, well, it's this way at every other school. Why can't we be that way, too? But are they starting the process? It sounds like that. Will it make a difference? We'll find out in the coming years. Hopefully, there's students at the school. If they feel they are hazed or they are bullied, they'll step forward and say there's still an issue.
I haven't heard you talk. I've heard you talk all day about this story, or at least the last couple of hours. I haven't talked about it myself because I've been waiting for you to bring it in.
Which one?
The one from Beaverton.
Yeah, this one kills me. You know, it's bad. And like I said during the last newscast, it's bad enough you burn the Canadian flag. That's a beating. But then you burn the Canadian flag at a cenotaph. So that happened yesterday in Beaverton. Now, it's a small community, if you're not familiar with it, about 2,000 east side of Lake Simcoe. Police say this guy also sprayed graffiti there. We were trying to find out what the graffiti was, but in typical fashion we see from some organizations, they send out a news release and then nobody answers the phone. No one's around. So we couldn't get the answer. What was the graffiti? What did it say? But this wasn't all. Investigators think the same person who burned the Canadian flag at a cenotaph is also responsible for smashing several windows at a Durham police detachment last weekend. And then yesterday, graffiti with anti-police messages on the plywood that they actually put up in place of where those windows used to be, the damaged windows. Male suspect is only described as white with red hair, wearing dark clothing, tan-colored boots, and the coward covered his face with a bandana. So hopefully that clicks with somebody in the region. I mean, red hair. How many redheaded people can there be in the Beaverton region? Let's track them all down.
Okay, you've been apoplectic about this story today. Listen, I'm not giving them a pass on the graffiti. I think it's awful to burn the Canadian flag
at a cenotaph.
It's double awful to do it at a cenotaph. But what are you expecting here? For keep the graffiti aside, what do you want this? What do you want the police to do here? He burned a flag.
I
you have the
set
right
him on
to
fire.
Okay, but you have the right to burn
really?
A flag in this country.
Oh yes, you do at a cenotaph.
Well, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I don't agree with that.
I'm not saying I agree with doing it, but he's got the right to do it.
I don't think he has a right to burn a flag at a cenotaph.
You have the right to burn the flag wherever you want. There are rules that say you can't desecrate the flag, but there's no penalty around that.
No. Well, it depends if whether the flag was actually a flag he brought himself or it was one that was flying as part of the cenotaph.
Well, then you're destroying somebody else's
exactly.
property. That's a different. I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve a couple punches in the face. You know, I'd be the first person to sign up and cock my fist back, but you have the right to do it.
But here's I grew up in a small town of 10,000 people. They've amalgamated now to like 25,000 with the county, but it's 10,000 in town. This is a community of 2,000 people. 100% they knew who this is.
Mm-hmm. But like, track him down.
There's no way you don't know who this guy is, unless he's an out of towner, at which point it's like a mysterious figure. But for sure, everyone knows who this guy
is. He's the redheaded guy. That's it.
People are just asking if it's Prince Harry. Do not think it's.
Tan boots, though, and red hair. There you go.
Somebody says, my cottage is near Beaverton. There are lots of redheads there. That's from Joan. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you.
Just so you know, she's on redhead watch.
Go check on them, Joan.
There's a whole pack of them.
Surveillance, Joan.
We've got a bit of a public safety alert here.
Yeah, this is scary. A sexual assault, July 15th. It involved a ride-sharing service. We don't know yet whether he actually worked for Uber or Lyft or he's just posing as one. But anyways, this sexual assault, it's been linked through DNA to two other sexual assaults in Collingwood and Toronto. So this makes three sexual assaults between 2015 and 2019, all the police know of, linked to the same man. The most recent, 20-year-old woman, she orders, we talk about this so many times, she orders an Uber or a Lyft. Somebody shows up to pick her up. Oh, yeah, I'm the guy that is here to get you. This happened in Lakeshore and Strawn, that region. That's where she was picked up. Driver leads her to believe he's the one there to get her, drives her to a parking lot, Jane and Eglinton region, and sexually assaults her and made death threats. Then he speeds away. Now, they don't have him on record, so they have the DNA. They know it's the same DNA from the same person for all three assaults. They just don't have this individual, his DNA, on record, so obviously no criminal record of any sort. Suspect described as 25 to 35 years old, brown complexion, about 5'8", small build, short beard. Now, here's the thing that might stand out. At the time of this assault, you got to remember, this is a month ago. He suffered an injury to his eye during the sexual assault. So what police are trying to say there is, if you remember, you had some, maybe an Uber or a Lyft driver or someone you know had just suddenly had an injury to their eye, some sort of cut, a scrape, something like that. It was damaged. Maybe this is the individual. Vehicle described as possibly gray, silver, or black with four doors, which doesn't narrow down at all. But they hope that if they throw enough things out there, you kind of go, oh, I know a guy that's in that age group who had an injury to his eye. He's about 5'8", drives a silver four-door whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. That's how they always get a break in these cases. It's going to be the simplest little thread.
You got a list of scumbaggery today,
oh,
really.
Oh, my God.
By the way, somebody from the Beaverton Legion has written us, a guy named Mike. He said it was the Cenotaph's flag. So
yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Now, yeah, now
thanks,
I'm totally on Team McKee. This guy deserves a complete beatdown.
Fair.
He says a lot of the vets and their families are understandably upset. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Now
this is where we're coming to.
Also, we have a lot of listeners in Beaverton.
We do.
It's just you didn't know this is the big, most popular show in the Beaverton community.
I did not know that. Hello, Beaverton.
Some people actually call this show the Beaverton.
Which is a segment
completely
yeah.
different. Speaking of Beaverton.
So MP Adam Vaughn, your best friend, has realized the hypocrisy of his ways. So in a tweet, he used photos of child detention centers in the U.S. Do you guys cover this at the time?
Oh, yeah.
So
we were all over
recall,
this yesterday.
In a tweet, child detention centers in the U.S., he included this photo, suggested the provincial government was trying to defend its education cuts by blaming refugee children. Something from what we can find, the Minister of Children actually never said this. And from the people he interviewed, which was global, they said, no, we went through it. He never actually says this. Now, was he inferring this? Was he
asked specifically about the costs to the province when it comes to refugees in general. And he talked about a couple of different things when it comes to more students being in the education system and that having a cost associated with it, which is what you'd think. I mean, if you're bringing a whole bunch of people into the country,
yep.
they have to go to school somewhere. There's going to be an added cost to that. And of course, Adam Vaughn, and as only Adam Vaughn can do, twisted it around to make it like the Ford government was locking refugees up in cages.
Yeah, you know, related it to
very
the
high level.
U.S. government and that crisis along the southern border. So Vaughn writes in a statement, children of refugees should not be used as political pawns. And he's now realizing, hey, that's exactly what I just did. Liberal writes, in part, my tweet has been rightly criticized for doing so. I accept the criticism. I have taken the tweet down. I am sorry that the tweet pushed what should be a serious conversation about child welfare into a political debate over what constitutes fair and responsible comment. I accept responsibility, as he said, the tweet has been removed from his account.
Please, why are we even pretending this guy doesn't know fully what he's doing? He puts it out there so he gets his name out there so he can be all over the place, and he pumps up his base, and he's a big center of attention because that's how Adam Vaughn. He's fairly arrogant. I'd just be straight with you. I spent 3 hours in this room with him co-hosting the show, and I can tell you the guy likes himself quite a bit. He likes him some me. He likes him some Adam Vaughn. So, you know, he's on yesterday's show with Jim Richards, and he doesn't apologize for it. Jim gives him a good beatdown, still doesn't apologize for it, and all of a sudden he has this epiphany. He's either knowing full well what he's doing or his boss talked to him. You know, his boss said to him, listen, Adam, this is not what we want to be doing. We're a couple weeks away from an election.
I'm guessing his boss talked to him.
Yeah, I would guess so,
that's
too.
That's where my
still likes
my
himself
spidey
a lot.
Sense said for that, for sure. Yeah, because I mean, and there is actually there is a cost. Like, I'm one that thinks we accepted the Vietnamese boat people. Like, we should accept refugees. I think it's important, but there is a real cost to
sure.
the system, including the shelter system. The city of Toronto has a huge bill, which they're getting a fraction
which
of the money
the
for.
Which the Liberal government didn't plan for adequately.
Correct. And that is a real, that's something we have to deal with, both as taxpayers and as a government. And that's something that should be spoken about without using photos of children being incarcerated in inhumane conditions at the U.S., which is apprehensive.
Yeah, what there she said. Go. Right, she's... exactly. Adam Vaughn. Guy used to be a journalist. He doesn't know what he's doing? Please. Ryan Doyle, Amanda Galbraith here with you on The Rush this afternoon. Sun is finally shining through our studios here in the Richmond and John area of Toronto. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. The elementary teachers in the news today.
Yep, the little snot-nosed brats go back to school in a couple of weeks. And the students as well. Ha! I kid. With contract talks underway, there are concerns if things get heated, your child's education may be disrupted again by striking teachers. The Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario says teachers will be in class for the month of September. Beyond that,
we shall see.
We shall see. The president of the union calls it the calm before the tsunami. Says negotiations. He says this, though. Says to this point, negotiations have been respectful. The OSSTF, that's talking tough.
We have seen hostile governments come and go, but we are still here. Many times in the past, the barbarians have been at our gates, and we have always driven them back.
I'm sorry. Is he fighting Attila the Hun?
That's a reality-based statement if I've ever heard
what
one.
What is happening?
So he doesn't expect substantive talks to get underway until mid to late September when the, I guess, the barbarians are gone. I'm not sure.
The barbarians at the gate. Good Lord.
We just live in a world where no public sector workers can ever lose their job.
He comes off of saying, these talks and negotiations have been quite respectful, but the barbarians have been at the gate.
Well, that's the other.
That's a different one.
Yeah, I should
that doesn't
say
matter.
That one's
They're
that,
all
but you're
the
right.
same.
You're right.
They're all
but,
the
well,
same.
Even, but even the respectful part, I hope it's respectful on both sides, because I feel like sometimes that can be a little one-sided, but this is what we deal with every time. Can we just get a long-term contract? By the way, stagger them. We've had that discussion, right? So they're not all teachers and all support staff.
So it all
at
blows
the same
up at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Blue Box program?
Yeah, provincial government is moving forward with plans to transfer responsibility for the Blue Box recycling program to manufacturers. The environment minister says this move will promote innovation, increase Ontario's recycling rates, save money for taxpayers. Now, it was nice to hear, well, the Retail Council of Canada, Food and Consumer Products of Canada, the Canadian Beverage Association, they all applaud this decision. And the environment minister is not surprised.
I think all businesses are looking to reduce costs. Right now, the way the system's set up is basically they have to write a check to Stewardship Ontario to cover half the cost of the recycling program. They have zero say of what's going on. They have zero incentive to change how they're packaging. They just set the check and send it in.
The organizations they call, and they represent the majority of individuals that we're really talking about here, who this impacts. And they say the curbside recycling system is a success, and they point out shifting both costs and oversight to industry creates a strong incentive, as he was speaking about, for businesses to optimize their packaging. So this new program, it'll kick off in 2023.
And it will save the city of Toronto, well, $75 million on the surface, but when you get it through all the programs that they have, $25 million every single year. City of Toronto is going to save that, Dave. Do we have quotes from all the councillors who usually talk about the cuts that they're experiencing, how that's going to kill people? Do we have them celebrating today?
No, they haven't come in yet.
They're not?
They're on the way, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
Adam Vaughn's composing a tweet.
Right. But, I mean, that's a real number, as Amanda points out this afternoon. $25 million in savings to the city of Toronto. And they don't, you know, when they kick and scream about cuts, they should be doing the converse part of it and saying, okay, thank you. You know, thank you for helping us out.
But they won't.
They won't.
But
it's the world we live in.
It's the way it works.
Is it hot enough for you?
Yeah, it seems like we do these reports every other month now, and that's not a good thing. So July was the hottest month measured on Earth since records began in 1880. Really, you know, 4-billion-year-old Earth, that's not a long time. U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says July was a degree warmer, Celsius, than the 20th century average for the month of July. The results, they've been expected. Several European countries, all-time temperature records in July. Scientists say, get used to this. The upward trend will likely continue because of man-made climate change. You accept that phrase? What's the phrase you hate?
What I don't like is when people confuse weather with climate, because those are two different things. That's all I will say. I'm not denying that there is a change in climate that is largely man-made, that we are responsible for a lot of what has gone on over the last, 100 years. We are responsible for a lot of it. But please just don't confuse weather and climate. You know, you have to look at bigger trends, bigger trend lines. That's how these things are determined and judged. I'm by no means a denier in any stretch, but it drives me crazy that people say, it snowed a little later this year and snowing today. What an anomaly. No, it's not an anomaly. It's global warming. It's climate change. Okay, settle it down. Slow your roll. That's all.
Do you buy this?
Climate change? Yes. Although I had, I used to work for the environment minister federally about 2007 and 2008, which is a long time ago now that I think about the time, over 10 years. Anyway, when Inconvenient Truth first came out, and one thing I got to know very intimately through that process was just the industry in the environmental movement and how much just the rhetoric and stuff and how it really inflames discussions. So we have a serious issue for sure, and particularly around, I think, pollution, air quality, and climate change. But I think we would all, a reasonable discussion would benefit everyone. And I like example, things like the straw bans right now is driving me nuts, because that's actually not the real pollution, like the issue with polluters. It just is an easy thing that first
shouldn't be a fixation.
First, what white people can do that makes us kind of feel better as we get our Starbucks. Like, really, there's actual things we should do, like recycling programs that they're implementing or reducing your. Anyway, these are my 2 cents, which could go on forever.
It startles me because you see certain statistics or numbers come in. Those things you usually see, oh, the Arctic, this did not freeze over this winter. That's the first time it's happened in 100 years. This has thawed. That's the first time that's happened in 200 years. Those are the ones that start to stand out for me. But at the end of the day, we are where we are. And, we're trying to make a difference, but are we doing
it? Yeah, we have about 12 years and then we're all done.
That's right. We're all underwater.
What it's all about. Was it Ron Ambrose or John Baird you were working with?
Baird.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to know. That was for me more so than anybody else. Just trying to put a date on what she's talking about there, Dave.
When I was a baby.
What's going on with Ross?
Yeah, a British judge has sentenced a lookalike of Friends actor David Schwimmer to 9 months in prison for theft and fraud.
Dude, we are so going to party.
Using a stolen bank card, he tried to make fraudulent purchases at 4 shops in Northwest England last year. His image became famous. I think everybody saw it after police published surveillance camera footage. Social media users noted, yeah, that guy looks like Schwimmer's character, Ross Geller. The actor then posted a video in response on Twitter, showed him running from a U.S. convenience store, clutching a carton of beer. He wrote, "Officers, I swear it wasn't me." But the Schwimmer lookalike, he's been sentenced.
Goes by the name of Russ Heller. Imagine that.
It did look like him, too.
Your claim to fame, you're like just a knockoff David Schwimmer.
You go to prison, they're like, oh, you're the guy.
Hanging out with like a knockoff Matthew Perry or Matthew Perry in there.
Been interesting, though, is Friends has a resurgence now. Have you seen this? Like my boyfriend's nieces are like, she loves Friends. She has like a Friends t-shirt. I've actually rewatched all of the episodes. It's a little, it doesn't necessarily hold the test of like appropriate discussion.
It was awful then.
Watch the one where the one where they take out the laugh track. Go on YouTube, Friends without the laugh track.
Really?
Oh, that's genius.
It is. You watch a time you go, that really wasn't funny.
It's just awkward.
Yeah.
It's all just awkward.
You've
been manipulated the whole time.
With laugh tracks. Where are all the laugh tracks?
Laugh now.
Dave McKee, laugh at you because you're always so great at what you do. He's here every single day that's not named Friday. Have a great weekend, buddy. Try to sneak out this time. Not on my watch, McKee. You're too tall to sneak anywhere. We got lots more to come as the rush continues, including a way you could really, really enjoy your day at the CNE. That's coming up next.